So while Balaam was riding his donkey, accompanied by his two servants, the Lord's messenger stood on the road with his adversary. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. So the donkey turned from the road and went into the field. Balaam struck the donkey in order to turn him back onto the road. Then the Lord's messenger stood on the narrow path between the vineyards and the stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the Lord's messenger, it leaned against the wall and squeezed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he continued to beat it. The Lord's messenger persisted and crossed over the and stood in the narrow place where it wasn't possible to turn either right or left. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger and laid down underneath Balaam. Balaam became angry and beat the donkey with the rod. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you've beaten me this three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you tormented me. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now." The donkey said to Balaam, "I am not your donkey on whom you've often ridden to this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" Balaam said, "No." Then the Lord uncovered Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the Lord messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. Then he bowed low and worshipped the Lord messenger, said to him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come out here as an
adversary
because you took the road recklessly in front of me. The donkey saw me and turned away from these three times. If it hadn't turned away from me, I would just now have killed you and let it live." Balaam said to the Lord's messenger, "I've sinned because I didn't know that you were standing against me in the road. Now, if you think it's so wrong, I'll go back."
As we get closer and closer to returning to in-person worship, I am so grateful for the ways the last year has offered us new opportunities that we will continue. I love having our young people read scripture every week. They'll continue to. I look forward to hearing stories from folks as they share about their lives during prayer time, something else I look forward to continuing. I hold deep appreciation for the place our puppets have in our worship service. Dwayne the Donkey used to just be a Christmas and Easter visitor. Churches have a lot of those folks, right? Plenty of folks start out coming at Christmas and Easter, but then they find a place of connection and they begin to come more often. Some of you watching right now, that's part of your story. It's why you'll never hear me make jokes or judgments about people who come at Christmas and Easter. If we respect their desire to be present, there's a chance we might see them again. Dwayne used to just come for the holidays and now comes every week, and I am so grateful. Dwayne is willing to be vulnerable. I hope we can see ourselves in his questions and concerns. Dwayne is a curious learner, and I hope we can see ourselves in the questions that he asks and the way he explores. I hope his humor has brought you a smile and his encouragement has given you hope. There are weeks I watch children's time and think, you know, that's worship right there. I'm kind of superfluous. So it seemed appropriate to allow this newfound favorite to be the focus of a sermon series. Now, we use scripture every week. I always hope to offer connection and learning from life and the Bible that it might come together in the sermon. But every year, I also like doing a sermon series that really digs into the scriptures a little bit further, looking at the history, the context, the stories, the nuance of the Bible. As you've heard Dwayne and Miss Jenny discussing today during children's time, it is really helpful to have a focus when you try to read and study the Bible. I mean, we as a congregation, we've used women in the Bible as a focus. We've looked at the journey stories of people making transitions in life. We've looked at the little-known stories of the Bible. We've also engaged scriptures that are often referenced in conversations about LGBTQ+ people. We've used lots of different topics to help us dig into our scriptures. And so for the next few weeks, we are going to use stories from our scripture that feature donkeys. It's donkey tales. I was delighted to easily find six such stories without even including Palm Sunday or the ride to Bethlehem. Mind you, there are more to be sure. But the six we will use walk us through very different parts and styles and aspects of the Bible. Now, our scripture today is a unique moment for donkeys in the Bible because this one talks. And as you know, I have a soft spot for talking donkeys. Today's scripture comes from the book of Numbers. This is a book in the Hebrew Bible, sometimes referred to as the Old Testament, but the scriptures, even still today, of the Jewish Hebrew people. It is one of the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. These books are attributed to Moses. Now, Numbers is an interesting collection of writing. It stands out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy are the first five. Well, Genesis and Exodus are epic narratives telling the story of God's people from their beginnings and to the arrival into their promised land. Now, Deuteronomy and Leviticus are collections of laws and religious codes and religious history that help center the identity of God's people in ritual and in practice. And then there's Numbers, which, as its name implies, starts with census data and numerical accountings of God's people. It does eventually make its way into narrative accounts as well, as we see in our scripture today. But it does so in a way that's not found in other books. I mean, outside the creation story and the serpent, which is a much more ancient folklore, this is the only story in all the Bible with a talking animal. So what is this about? Well, one of my favorite Hebrew scholars describes it as humorous satire, a commentary on the pagan religions that surrounded the Hebrew people. You see, Balaam, the main character in our story today, the one riding the donkey, Balaam is supposed to be a visionary, a religious visionary, someone who can see the will of the divine for others in the world. But when it comes to a pivotal moment in his own life, a life or death moment, he cannot see the angel standing right in front of him. I'm going to let Robert Alter actually describe the situation. Balaam, the celebrated visionary, cannot see the sword-wielding divine messenger who is plainly visible to his ass as he is reduced to a sputtering frustration, finally engaged in an angry argument with his beast of burden. Balaam himself then plays the role of the ass, whose eyes and mouth are then opened by God. Now, I use Robert Alter's words here, so you know I'm not using the other name for a donkey simply for comedic effect. Though, ironically, it was used for comedic effect by the original author of our scripture. Our scripture offer is offering commentary on those who try to speak with divine authority, but are really just talking out there. Well, you get the point. I appreciate this scripture for its indictment of those who would claim wisdom beyond their capacity and force it upon others with some sort of religious authority. It also reminds us that the story of the Hebrew people is intertwined in contact with other religions. Their encounters with other religions and people shape a lot of our scriptures as they make sense of why their God is their God. Why they are that God's chosen people as they figure out what it means to be chosen. These are very real needs. They're about identity. They're about the complexities of the world, and I appreciate them. I want to highlight another moment of scripture that I deeply appreciate. These, I want to share with you the verses directly before what our readers read to you already today. It's a longer scripture, so we took a highlight. I'm going to read you the setup to this whole angel in the road moment, the why this angel came to be. God came to Balaam in the night and said to him, If the men have come to summon you, arise and go with them. But you must do only what I tell you to do." So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the officials of Moab. Then God became angry because he went. So while he was riding his donkey, accompanied by his servants, the Lord's messenger stood in the road as Balaam's adversary. Okay. So, God tells Balaam to take the trip. Balaam takes the trip, and God gets angry Balaam took the trip. What? Let me quote the commentary from my favorite study resource on the Hebrew Scriptures. This is a famous source of puzzlement. That's the official note in my study Bible. Some scholars think that this is where perhaps two versions of the story got stitched together as ancient storytellers reconciled minor differences in the various tellings. Right? These stories were told in different places and they gathered together to write them down. It's a good reminder that for as divinely inspired as our scriptures are, and our scriptures are divinely inspired, they are still a product of editing, revision, and translation across millennia. Now, other scholars assert that God must have known what was in Balaam's heart, that perhaps Balaam did wake up and begin the journey thinking of only doing what God wanted, but eventually on the way decided he would do what he wanted and not what God had asked. This interpretation doesn't land as well with me. It's based on a desire, not the actual text. Once again, an important reminder for us as we engage the Bible. Sometimes people assign meaning that isn't present in the actual text. They interpret a scripture for their desired outcome with a bit of agenda. And when I say sometimes people do this, I am not unaware of my own moments of doing this. There are places in our scriptures that don't give us everything we need to make sense of it, and so we must apply our own knowledge of other biblical moments, of the historical context, of similar passages, of the character and common methods of God, that we might fill in the gaps and understand it better. This is not necessarily done with ill intent. It's often done out of necessity. But to ignore that it is being done, oh, that's a problem. When I reread the story of Balaam's donkey, I hear a story of God taking care to instruct. Balaam is given this unique opportunity to reflect on his life, to consider that perhaps he cannot see as much as he thought, that maybe, just maybe, his donkey knows as much or even more about life than he does. This is a humbling moment that invites Balaam to reorient his life with something other than himself at the center. It's also a story that invites us to see the many layers of Scripture, to remember that each and every story in our Bible was written with an original audience in mind, to recognize that the text we have in front of us has gone through generations of telling, retelling, recording, and translation. It's a scripture that uses wordplay to make us laugh, satirical humor in the good book, not what everyone always expects. And just as I had to read and then reread and reread and then get out multiple commentaries to understand why God would say go and then get angry the guy went, it's a story that asks us to be curious and to not shy away from questions. One of my colleagues introduced me to a great phrase a couple of years ago. It's one of the touchstones for healthy conversation. When the going gets tough, turn to wonder. What this asks us is when we are in conversation and someone says something we don't agree with or that we take issue with, we're invited to turn to wonder. I wonder why they think that. I wonder what experiences have led them to that place. Instead of getting angry, defensive, or dismissive, we're invited to be curious, to wonder. And I find this highly applicable to our scriptures. I mean, our scriptures are a timeless conversation that we are joining, and sometimes we are frustrated, confused, or put off by something in our scriptures. And instead of getting angry, or defensive, or dismissive, we're invited to be curious, to wonder what it could have meant to that original audience, to wonder how the God we know might be present in something we don't understand, to ask good questions that our eyes and hearts might be opened to the divine presence we might otherwise miss, just as we saw in our scripture today.